Let us pray. Holy God, by the power of your Spirit, speak your word to us. Show us who you are and who you are calling us to be, for the sake of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier, I won't be preaching from the passage from Romans this morning. The scripture that was for this Sunday, which is from the Gospel according to Mark, a passage which I think many of you will find familiar. So I read from chapter 5 of the Gospel of Mark, starting at verse 21 through 43. And I invite you to listen for the word of God. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the lake. When one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now, there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Spirit is moving. So that's one sermon. One beautiful sermon. You know, I don't know that I can top it. Honestly, sometimes I preach sermons and I think I'll say to Cindy or Taylor, you know, I don't know, that's just... And then somebody in the congregation will come up to me and say, "I just want you to know that, boy, I needed to hear that today." And I just want to say, What did you hear? But I'll tell you, I heard something when you were singing, Kara. Thank you for. You know what I love about you in the short time that we have gotten to know each other is that it's not just you're not just singing words. So I appreciate it. All right, you ready? Picture yourself riding the scepter train. It's a big switch from what we just heard. Picture yourself riding the scepter train at rush hour, or even better, on the way to an Eagles playoff game. Now imagine the noise of the crowd, the loud talk. Some people have already had a few, so they're louder than the other ones. The pushing and the shoving as people are standing in the aisles of the train. It's already crowded. There are no seats available, and people are still coming on board. Okay, so you make it to the station, and your personal space has been invaded and conquered, right, by the crowd. You introverts are needing to get out and walk and not be touched by anyone, which is all well and good until you get to the stadium. And you're right back to where you were, people everywhere as you go through that bottleneck at the entrance. By this point in your day, you've been pushed and you've been shoved. Do you know that feeling? Can I hear an amen for that? Okay. And you know the difference between being pushed and being shoved and walking leisurely at your own pace, doing what you want to do. Now, the disciples apparently had a little difficulty in the passage this morning. The gospel writer tells two stories. Both have to do with people in need, people in great need. The first about a 12-year-old girl who's dying, and the second about a woman who's been ill for 12 years. Mark begins one story, interrupts with the other story, concludes the first story. It's a technique that's not unusual in the Gospel of Mark. In any case, we're told of a woman who has exhausted all other resources save one, to come to Jesus. She's met with doctors and shamans and medicine men and tried every medicine, prescription and otherwise, talked to reputable people and quacks and nothing. Nothing ever got better. She's at the end of her rope. She hears about Jesus, and she goes to him. And in the presence of the great crowd that surrounds him, that's pressing, pushing, and shoving, she manages to get close enough just to reach out and to touch, not him, just the edge of his cloak. And she does that firmly believing that if she could do that, she would be healed. Now, in the midst of that amazing story, we're told that Jesus is aware that the power has gone from him. And he asks, "Who touched me?" And the disciples respond, "Dude, do you see the crowd pressing around you? How can you say who touched me?" They still don't get how in tuned with the now and the present and the presence of God that Jesus is. So, the disciples are clearly well aware of the crowd. They were well aware of the pushing and the shoving that occurs in the crowd. I'm guessing that they even kind of formed or tried to form a kind of human buffer from the crowd around Jesus so that he wouldn't be physically pushed and shoved. But they're unaware of the frail woman who manages just to touch the hem of Jesus' robe. But Jesus is aware he's been touched. Touched not only by this woman's hand, but by her desperation, her perseverance, her persistence. He has been touched by her faith and her hope. All right, stay with me as I refocus a little bit. I think that I, and maybe even we, are a little like the disciples. We tend to be all too well aware of the crowd in our lives. We're all too well aware of those who push and shove us, the ones who demand our attention. We know the ones who are in our face all the time, the ones who take up a great deal of our conscious and unconscious time. We remember the pushers and the shovers who hurt us and make us a little harder and a little harsher than we want to become and we want to be. And even when we have the capacity to forgive them, we still remember. But thanks to God, thanks to Jesus, thanks to God's grace in Jesus, we also remember the ones who touch us, the ones who surprise us with their gentle determination and their hope. We are touched by the ones who remind us of our own faith. I know that the woman in Mark's story wanted something from Jesus, hoped in Jesus. But by reaching out to him with her hope and her faith, he is touched as well. The ones who touch us, who know, you know, the ones I mean, in the midst of the crowd, in the midst of the desperation and the anger and the frustration and the loneliness and the desperation we sometimes feel and experience, the ones who manage to reach out to us and touch us, in such a way that we know we have been touched. Now, of course, that's God's touch. God touches us through them. God doesn't ever push or shove us. I know sometimes, especially when we read the Old Testaments, we get the feeling that maybe God did a little pushing and shoving. But God is not one more stressor in our already hectic and busy and frustrating life. God is one who touches and touches in such a way that we know we've been touched by grace and by hope and by faith and by love. Things are different because of God's touch. We are made different. The world somehow becomes less hard, less frustrating, less stressful, less hectic if we allow it through God's touch. It refreshes us, but it's not an escape. God's touch is not a call to make believe. It's not a fantasy. God's touch redefines who we are, what is important and what is real. God's touch, in a word, is love. Love as we have never experienced it. Unconditional love. It touches us in spite of who we are. Indeed, because of who we are. In all our infirmities. In all our frailty. In the Spirit song this month, which I think Kate will be putting out this week, I speak about Sabbath time. And I wonder how many of us, as I tried to say last week in my sermon, have been caught up into the craziness of life to the point where we're losing the ability to see, to feel, to know when we've been touched by God. I think that that touch comes in ways sometimes that we just don't take notice of anymore. a small child sitting in our lap, giving us a great big hug. Working out in the yard and seeing a flower growing through concrete. Driving in rush hour traffic and seeing light break through the clouds. Surprised by the way that God can touch us in the smallest of ways. Being overwhelmed at a song or a piece of music. Hearing God say, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I love you more than anything." I think we need a little more of that. And I pray that we receive it with grace. That's all I've got. Blessings. Amen.